We do give you another warm welcome to the evening gospel service. We thank you for coming. We appreciate your attendance. And we do give that welcome to you tonight in the Saviour's name. We welcome again to our pulpit our brother Mr. Jonathan Storey, third year student for the ministry in the Whitfield College of the Bible. We enjoyed his ministry this morning. And we pray again that the Lord will be pleased to use him and bless him in the proclamation of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to sinful men and women. Do remember the services this week as they continue. The prayer meeting on Tuesday night. Our own minister, Mr. Smiley, will be back continuing the study and the survey of the New Testament. And this week it is the survey of 2 Peter. So do plan to come over in the church hall, 8 o'clock on Tuesday evening. Friday night, the final meeting of the Young People's Fellowship for this year on Zoom. And the speaker is the Reverend Smiley. So do remember that meeting, young people. Join with them and join with others as they meet around the Word of God. Then it services next Lord's Day, 11:30 and 7. Preacher at both services, our own minister back again after his break, refreshed and ready for the work that lies ahead. So do remember that, the evening service preceded by the time of prayer at 6:20 to 6:45 up in the student or the youth room at the back of the church, please. Next Sunday is the building fund offerings, so do remember that and do come and give as the Lord has blessed you. Do remember as well, next Sunday morning, before the morning service, the Sunday school will recommence Sunday the 2nd of May. And do remember that, please. And the children, please, do come out to that service. Do remember the ones who are sick at the moment, recovering at home, attending hospital, in other places. We do commit them all lovingly to the Lord in prayer, please. Do remember as well the leaving the church, please be guided by the stewards as you exit the building, remembering the social distancing and all the other measures that are in place. Once again, we want to pass on our congratulations to William and Victoria on their wedding this Saturday. Do remember them and pray that the Lord will give them a good day, that they'll have good weather, and that as they enter into marriage, they know the Lord's help and the Lord's presence even with them on that occasion. Do remember others that need our prayers. We commit them lovingly to the Saviour. Those are all the announcements that we need to make. I do pray that our brother will know the help of God tonight and that we'll listen again and enjoy the preaching of the Word, the presentation of the Gospel, the uplifting of Christ, and may there be that drawing of sinners onto Himself. Thank you, Jonathan.
I'd like to thank Mr. Benison for his kind words of welcome, and it is a pleasure to be with you here once again to preach the Word of God and here in Ballygowan. We're going to sing our opening hymn, and we'll remain seated while we sing this hymn together, Dear Saviour, Thou art mine. And that's a prayer of our hearts this evening, that each and every one in here tonight will know that the Saviour is theirs. He is their Saviour and has saved them from their sin. We'll remain seated while we sing this hymn together. Thank you.
Thank you.
While I was coming down here this evening, I was listening to a song on the way down. It was by a group called Legacy 5 over in America. And the words of it, they ring very true for our nation today. We have a wicked nation, an evil nation, sadly, that has departed from the Lord. But the words of the chorus of this song really do speak to each and every one of us. Well, I pray that they do speak to each and every one of us. And they go as follows. The word still has the answer. The blood alone still saves. God is still our refuge, and the gospel still remains. Souls can still be rescued, for mercy still redeems. Rejoice, the tomb's still empty, and Christ is still the King. And what a wonderful thought it is that even though this world changes, even though many circumstances in our life changes, we can trust the one who never changes. We can trust the one who has been ever present, who has been ever faithful to his people. So let's come to our God now in prayer, and we'll stand together while we pray just to change your positions. And let us come to the throne of grace and ask for God's help this evening. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank thee for each and every one in here this evening that can say and can testify with the chorus of this hymn that we have just sang, that you are ours, Lord, that you are mine, mine, mine. Lord, we thank thee that you came into this world. You sent the Lord Jesus Christ to live a perfect and a sinless life. And Lord, there upon the cross, he died that atoning death to pay for the penalty of our sin. Lord, to bear it away upon the cross of Calvary. Lord, we thank thee as we sang this morning that our sin, not in part but the whole, was nailed to thy cross and we bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, we thank thee for the fact that we can come and gather in such a manner as this. Lord, we can come and sing thy praises. Lord, we can read thy word. We can listen to the preaching of God's word. And Lord, we thank thee for this great privilege that we have. And Lord, ever may it be the case that we will have freedom of religion in this country. Lord, we do pray for those who perhaps have not this privilege. Lord, they meet tonight in secret in fear of their government or of those finding them and, Lord, putting them to death. Lord, we do pray for thy persecuted church, Lord, across the world, for those fearing for their life. Lord, we do pray, protect them this evening. Lord, ensure that not one will touch them, Lord. We do pray that they will know thy presence where they are gathered this evening. Lord, as they praise thee and as they worship you this evening, Lord, we do pray that they will know a sense of thy presence. Lord, we do pray for the Reverend Smiley at this time. Lord, we thank thee for his ministry here in Ballygowan over these years. Lord, we thank thee for his faithful stand in the gospel. Lord, we do pray as he has had this time of holiday, this time of refreshing, Lord, that he will feel that soul refreshing. Lord, he will be reinvigorated for the work. And Lord, he will be ready to then and to now again preach and teach from the Holy Scriptures of truth. Lord, we do pray for each and every member in here of the church. Lord, we thank thee for them. We thank thee for a body of thy people. Lord, for this visible gathering that we have. Lord, we do pray that you would bless each and every one of them. Lord, speak to their hearts, Lord, this evening. May they be encouraged. May they be thrilled in their heart, Lord, as we have a fresh glimpse of Christ. Lord, that is what we pray for this evening. That is what we long for in this building, that we would have a fresh view of our Savior. Lord, if we see not Christ this evening, we have met in vain. And Lord, we do pray that he would be edified this evening. Lord, that his name would be magnified. And Lord, we do pray that as we come to the preaching of God's word, that we would feel a real sense of the Holy Spirit coming down and dwelling amongst us. Lord, we pray for each and every other church who is faithful to thy word, Lord, who is faithful to thee. Lord, we pray as they meet this evening to preach the gospel, Lord, to promote the Savior of the world. We do pray that they would know thy blessing, Lord. They would know thy help. And Lord, as sinners are gathered into churches, Lord, here in Ballygowan as well, we do pray that you would convict them of their sin. Lord, show them their need of a Savior. Show them that they can do nothing to save themselves, but that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we do pray that you would convict of sin this evening. And Lord, we pray for each and every one gathered in. Lord, speak to each and every one of us. We pray these things. Lord, we ask each and everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We will remain seated for our second hymn of this evening. It is the hymn 199. 199, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Turn with me, if you will, in God's Word this evening to the book of 2 Chronicles, there in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 33 is where we want to take our reading from. 2 Chronicles 33 tells us of Manasseh, one of the kings of Israel, and we want to see what the Lord will have us to learn this evening from the life of this king in the history of Israel. So 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and we'll read verses 10 through to verse 20. So 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and we'll commence our reading at the verse number 10. There the word of God says, "And the Lord spake to Manasseh, and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Now after this, he built a wall without the city of David, on the west side of Gihon, in the valley, even to the entering in at the fish gate, and compassed about Ophel, and raised it up a very great height, and put captains of war in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he took away the strange god and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord, and in Jerusalem, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the seers that spake to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the books of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sin and his trespass, and the places wherein he built high places, and set up groves and graven images, before he was humbled, behold, they are written among the sayings of the seers. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house, and Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. Amen. We trust and we pray that God will bless the reading of his word, will apply it to each and every one of our hearts, that we might know his blessing this evening. I do just want to take this opportunity to thank you for your prayer and for your support, and just even to encourage you to pray especially for those students who have just left us this past year, who have gone out, and some have received calls, some perhaps are still waiting on the Lord opening doors of service, and those are Mr. Raymond Morrow, Mr. Matthew Eccles, Mr. David Wilson, Mr. Alex Bernabeu, now over in Spain, Mr. Andrew Murray, and the two female students that we had, the two college students, Miss Shannon Ross and Miss Cherith Brown. Do take these names upon your heart. Pray for them that the Lord, if he has not as yet revealed his will, that he would soon open doors of service for each and every one of them, and that they would know exactly where it is the Lord would have them to be. And do pray even for the new students that we've had brought in this year. College has been strange this year. They haven't really had a proper taste of what it's like and a proper slagging yet. But we do thank the Lord that he is still bringing men and women into the college, and do pray even that more would be raised up, that men and women would feel the call of God to go and to preach the gospel, to tell others of the Saviour of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. So do continue to pray for the college, and as we said this morning, continue to pray for Mr. Nelson. He has a hard job of keeping us boys in line, and do pray that he would know God's wisdom, know God's blessing, and that even Reverend Smiley here, as he is in the committee as well for the college, do pray for wisdom in the whole oversight, that God would bless and would keep each and every one of us in the centre and the hollow of his hand as well. We're just going to sing a hymn together before we come to God's word. It is hymn 205, Not Have I Gotten, But What I Have Received. Grace hath bestowed it, since I hath believed. And we'll remain seated again while we sing this hymn of praise together.
Thank you.
some high notes in that one, and well, it's a wonderful chorus, it's a wonderful hymn that we can sing unto the Lord. And this evening, as we come to our Bible reading, as we come to see what God's word would have us to hear, we will come to see a sinner saved by grace. And that is the story of the life of Manasseh. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture of grace that we have in his life. Before we come to the preaching of God's word, perhaps we'll stand again for a moment's prayer. And we'll come to our God and ask his help. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise thee that it's not what we've gotten, but what we have received. Lord, we thank thee that we receive it all of grace. Lord, we receive thy blessing, we receive thy mercy, we receive thy forgiveness all of grace. And Lord, we do pray now as we come to study this character, the life of Manasseh, Lord, we come to see, Lord, a sinner saved by grace, and we thank thee for that. We thank thee that that is what we alone are, sinners saved by thy all-atoning grace. And Lord, we do pray that as we come to thy word now, the Lord, you would still our hearts. Lord, speak to those who are outside of Christ, and Lord, draw them lovingly unto thyself. Lord, we do pray, give help in the preaching and the hearing of thy word. And Lord, we pray, send down thy Holy Spirit amongst us. Move from heart to heart this evening, we do pray, and speak through thy word. Lord, we would reiterate the words of Samuel. Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Lord, we do pray now that you would speak to each and every one of us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. If I was to ask you a question this evening of who was the most evil man who ever lived, I wonder what your answer would be. I'm sure straight away there are names that are popping into your mind, going around in your mind, of some evil characters that we have seen throughout the history of this world. Names like Adolf Hitler, who was responsible for the genocide of the Jewish people in World War II. It's estimated that there was over 6 million Jews killed in the Holocaust, and that is three times the population of Northern Ireland. He was an evil and a wicked man. We could think of men like Osama bin Laden, the man who masterminded the 9/11 attack on the World Trade Centers. And there, 3,000 people almost lost their lives in that disaster and in that attack. Further names, I'm sure, such as Joseph Stalin, Mussolini, Pol Pot, these names will be flying in your mind, I'm sure. Men who in recent history are men who have committed evil and wicked deeds in this and other lands surrounding us. If we go back further in history, we would think of men such as Genghis Khan, Vlad the Impaler, Ivan the Terrible, Attila the Hun. Perhaps you've learned of these people when you were younger, and perhaps you learned of them in school. And these men, who there are countless of them, committed countless and wicked evil deeds throughout history. Many Christians, they would look to Nero as one of the most evil men that has ever graced this earth. He was the persecutor of the early church. He not only caused a great fire in Rome that killed many of the Roman citizens, but he then blamed it on the Christians. And then he also systematically murdered each member of his own family. All these men that we have mentioned here, they're remembered in history for their evil, for their wicked deeds that they committed. And now I wonder if the church in the time of these men, if they prayed for them to be saved, or I wonder, did they pray just for the Lord to put an end to their evil deeds? But this evening, we want to consider a man who, I believe, would be up there with the worst of the worst. A man who was a sinner through and through. We will see that he committed many heinous sins in the sight of God. But yet, we see the mercy of God toward him. And this evening, I want us to consider Manasseh, the redeemed reprobate. Now, when I say that word reprobate, I don't mean someone who was predestined to damnation, but I mean one who was evil and who committed great sin against the Lord. And so let us come to see what the Lord would have us to learn of Manasseh, the redeemed reprobate. And firstly, I want you to see his evil past. His evil past. In the earlier part of chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles, we read of the many, many wicked sins that Manasseh committed. Verse 2 through to 9, they outline Manasseh's sinful life. And these verses are almost word for word identical to to what we read in 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through to 9. And if we follow down these verses, we will see the wicked deeds committed by Manasseh. Verse number 2, read it with me if you will. But did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Manasseh not only did that which was evil in the Lord's sight, but he was compared to the heathen around, those nations around who were not of the Lord, who committed abominations against the Lord. Now the word here, heathen, it means surrounding nations who did not know God, who did not serve the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Israel. They did not know God, they did not love him, and they did not keep his commandments. The word abominations here, it means something that is abhorrent. In its literal sense, it can be rendered something that is morally disgusting. And therefore Manasseh foolishly followed, instead of following the example set forth in Scripture, he set forth and he followed the example of the heathen nations that were around him. Verse number 3, there we read, for he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And there are two things that we see in this verse. First, we see that Manasseh, he served not the God of Israel, but he served a multiplicity of gods, many gods. Up to this point in the writings of Scripture, of what Manasseh would have had to read, we see that God had stated time and time again that he was the one and the true living God of Israel. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, there it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy 4 verse 35, the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. And there was enough from Holy Scriptures for Manasseh to know that Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel, was the only God to be served. And I'm sure that he was taught the Ten Commandments. The very first two commandments, we know them to be, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt not make any graven image unto thee. He would have been taught these things by his father, the godly King Hezekiah. And that is the second thing that we want to see in this verse. It was that Manasseh had a godly father, a godly heritage. When he was brought up, he would have been taught of the Lord God and all that he had done for Israel. Yet he turned away from the true God. He turned away from the one living and true God to serve false idols. And I wonder, is that the same with you this evening? You've perhaps been brought up in a home where you've been faithfully taught the Word of God. You've been brought up where a mother and a father has faithfully sent you along to church meetings, has faithfully sought to teach you what God's Word says, what is divine truth from the mouth of God. Have you been brought up in that kind of scenario? But yet today, you're far away from God. You no longer have time for the things of God. You're indifferent to God. You've been brought up with these many privileges, but yet you've turned away from the Lord God. I wonder, is that you this evening? God is patient. God is long-suffering. But as a Puritan once said, though the patience of God be lasting, it is not everlasting. And there will come a time when God's patience and God's mercy will come to an end. And so I ask, why stay in your sin? Why not acknowledge that you have sinned against the Lord? Why not acknowledge that you have left him and return unto the Lord and seek his forgiveness? Verses 4 and 5. In chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles, they now outline to us the fact that he desecrated the house of the Lord. It says there that he built altars in the house of the Lord. Manasseh not only served these other gods, but he then desecrated the Lord's house by building these altars of sacrifice unto these false gods in the very temple where the Lord was to be worshipped. He also caused the people of Israel to sin. It was not enough for him to break God's law, but he had to bring the people of the Lord into sin also. In verse number 6, we arguably read the most heinous sin that Manasseh was guilty of. Verse number 6, there it says, he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom, Also he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. In this verse we see that Manasseh sacrificed his children unto a false god. We know this by looking at other passages in Scripture, such as Jeremiah 7, verse 31. Jeremiah 7, verse 31 says there, "And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart." And this practice of child sacrifice to pagan gods, it was explicitly prohibited by the Lord in Scripture. Leviticus 18, verse 21 says there, "And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." And therefore Manasseh, in carrying out this practice, was disobeying the very word of God. He disregarded God's word and committed grievous sin against the Lord. And if we look further at this scenario, if we look further at what it is, the valley of the son of Hinnom, it is in the Greek Gehenna. And when we come to the New Testament, that's significant because the word Gehenna in the whole of the New Testament, each time it is used, each 12 times that the word appears, it is translated in our English translation as hell. And therefore this was an immoral place. This was a place where great immorality, great wickedness took place against the Lord. And I'm sure each and every one of you listening this evening, perhaps if you're listening in online as well, listening to this, you're appalled at such a wicked sin. You're appalled at the fact that one would sacrifice their child to a pagan god. But sadly, today in society we see that men and women will not be appalled at the murder of unborn babies in their mother's womb, now the most dangerous place for a child to be. They find no issue with aborting a baby, yet they will be horrified at the thought of killing a child. This sorrowfully shows the moral decline of our society in which we live. It's a sad reality that we live in. And that is why we need men and women who will be faithful to the Lord. We need men and women who will be faithful to his word, will uphold the standard of truth in this land. God has given us his moral standard in the pages of Holy Scripture. That is why it is so vitally important that we stand up for his word, for his truth. Therefore, we can see from the opening parts of this chapter, from just briefly scanning over the opening verses in this chapter, the wicked and the vile sins that Manasseh committed against the Lord. We can see those sins that were so repulsive in our own eyes, those sins that are against a holy God. And the only remedy for sin in our life is the very Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can make us whole again. He is the only way who can take away our sin that we have in our life. So, how can we do that? How can we be saved from our sin? How can we know that forgiveness, that cleansing in the blood of the Lamb? Well, that's what we're going to explore in our next point. We see not only his evil past, but secondly, we see his earnest prayer. And in Manasseh, in verse 12 and 13, read it with me again. Verse 12 and 13 of this chapter, it says, "And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God." Here in these verses we see that it was when Manasseh was in affliction that he turned to the Lord. The Lord allowed him to continue in his sin, but only for a time. The Lord allowed him to go against his will, but there came a point when the consequences for Manasseh's sin finally caught up with him. And we see that the Lord was generous. He was gracious to Manasseh and to the people of Israel at that time. We read it in the opening verse that we read in verse 10. "The Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken." I wonder, is that you this evening? Do you hear the voice of God speaking to you, convicting you of your sin, showing the fact that you have done wrong, you have offended a holy God, but yet, just like the people here, you will not hearken to his voice. Manasseh continued in his sin, and it brought forth not only judgment for himself, but also judgment for the people of Israel. Remember, they followed Manasseh. They followed the false idols that he served also. And this is something that I really want you to take hold of this evening. God never turned away from man before man walked away from God. If we go through scriptures, we see that there is never a case where God first turned away from man, but yet it was always man turning his back upon God, sinning against God, and turning away from his merciful face. Manasseh and the people, they were no different. They turned away from the Lord, and therefore, for a time, the Lord turned his back on his people and allowed them to be brought into captivity in Babylon. Now, this is where we see the wondrous grace in Manasseh's life. This is where we see, even though he had sinned greatly against the Lord, even though he had committed great iniquity and great wickedness against the Lord, yet we see that there was still mercy enough for Manasseh to be saved. In fact, the reservoirs of God's grace can never be dried up. He provides abundant grace for us in saving us from our sin. And we learn from verse 12 here in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 that he besought the Lord. It says there in verse 12, he besought the Lord. And that is important to note, because in the original Hebrew, this word here, it has another meaning, the word besought, of wearing down. And therefore, we could say that Manasseh in his prayer was not only seeking after God, he was not only asking him to forgive him for his sin, but he was wearing God down in prayer. It's a picture of him wearing God down relentlessly in his prayer for forgiveness. I had a granny that used to live with us in our house, and every day she would sit in the same area of the sofa, and she would sit there with her hand on the armrest. And every day she would sit and just rub and rub away at the armrest. And I've seen this even in many pulpits. When we come here, many pulpits, men are hanging on, clinging on for dear life when they're up here. And you see the sides of the pulpit, they're worn down. And that is, in a similar way, what we see Manasseh doing when he came to the Lord in prayer. It's as if he is wearing God down, seeking forgiveness for the various sins that he had committed against the Lord. And if you are still in your sin this evening, that is what you must do. You must wear God down in the place of prayer, seeking for forgiveness, asking him to take away your sin, to come into your heart, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 55 verse 6, there it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Not only does it tell us that he besought the Lord, but it also says there that he humbled himself greatly before God. And this is a word that too many in our society, not too many in our society, are familiar with, that word humble. Yes, they know what it means. They know how to define the word humble. But sadly, it's a quality that is lacking today in our society. Ted Turner, an American businessman, he once said, "If only I had humility, I'd be perfect." And there, straight away, he had lost the very thing he was seeking for. Many today, many people in today in society, they think very highly of themselves. They promote themselves to a place of prominence. But it is only when we see God, it is only when we see the Lord of all glory, that we realize how we have no reason to be proud, how insignificant that we are. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, he said, A sight of God's glory humbles. The stars vanish when the sun appears. And we see that in nature. When we look to the sky throughout the day, we see the sun. It is that greater light to rule the day. Throughout the night, yes, we see the many stars in our universe, but when the sun comes out, it fades all the stars away. And just like that, God's glory is the thing that is preeminent. When we truly see God in all of his glory, we realize that we are no more than dust. We realize that we are nothing more than hell-deserving sinners. And this is Manasseh's attitude. Here we see that he humbled himself greatly before the Lord. He brought himself low under the subjection of Almighty God. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, I urge you this evening, if you are still in your sin, humble yourself before God and seek his forgiveness, just like Manasseh did here. This is how we are to approach God. We may ask for grace and mercy from our God, but we can never demand it, as if God owes it to us. And I want to repeat that. We may ask for the grace of God and his mercy, but we can never demand it, as if God owes it to us. That is the proud spirit. That is what the Lord despises. And therefore, when we come to God, we come to him with a humble spirit, just like Manasseh came back in his day. He humbled himself and he besought the Lord his God. Not only did Manasseh trust in God for salvation, but we see that he turned from his sin. That's what we know as repentance. And that is evident from the very fact that we read in the rest of this chapter of the many deeds that Manasseh did to establish the Lord again in Israel. He turned from his wicked ways. He began to serve the Lord his God. And those are the two pillars of Christianity, repentance and faith. And that is what we need when we come to Christ. When we seek for our sins to be forgiven, we must repent of them and we must put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. I ask you this evening, will you turn from your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? We see not only Manasseh's evil past and his earnest prayer, but lastly, let us look at his exciting prospect. His exciting prospect. Because now that Manasseh had repented of his sin, he had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see that he had a whole lot of work to do in restoring the Lord's name in Israel. We see that he had to tear the idols down that he was responsible for erecting in the house of the Lord. We see that in verse 15. It says there, he took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord. All those strange idols, all those false gods were now being cast out of Israel. He no longer wanted anything to do with them. And the true religion of Israel, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lord God of Israel, was now restored. I wonder, is there an idol in your heart this evening? Is there something that has taken the preeminence in your life this evening? Is there that one thing that drives you, the one thing that you put all of your energy and all of your devotion into? And if it is not the Lord, then you have an idol in your heart. Is he, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one sitting in prime position in your heart? Because if he is not, then you have an idol. Matthew 22:37. Christ was asked what the greatest commandment was. The Pharisees were seeking to trip him up, but Christ gave back a perfect answer. The greatest commandment, Christ said, was thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Can that be said of you this evening? Could those words be written over your life this evening? He, she, loves the Lord their God with everything, with every bit of their being. I ask the same question of my own life. Can the same thing be said of each and every one of us, that we love God with all of our soul, strength and mind? If not, if those words cannot be written over your life, then listen to the words of William Cowper's hymn, "Oh, for a closer walk with thee." He says there in one of the verses, "The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." Not only did we see that Manasseh cast out the false idols from the house of the Lord, but he also commanded the people to return to worship the Lord God of Israel and serve him only. We see that in verses 16 and 17. The people there returned to the Lord. They sacrificed only to the Lord. And it was a feature of Manasseh's sin that he not only sinned, but he caused the people also to sin. We see that in verse 9. There it says, Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen, whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Therefore, now that he has repented of his sin, now that Manasseh has come to faith in the Lord, he seeks to set the heart of the people right before God. And this change could only come from the Lord. It could only be of grace from God. James 5:19-20 says there, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. And this is what Manasseh sought to do by the Lord's help. He sought to win his people back for the Lord, for his honour, for his glory. That verse there in James 5, when it says, shall save a soul from death, it does not mean that they themselves have saved the person by their own power, but they have been the instrument in God's hand used to bring that sinner unto the Lord. And that is the work we now see Manasseh was engaged in. He was engaged with winning the people back for the Lord, for his glory and for his honour, and winning people back unto the Lord God of Israel. Ultimately, though, Manasseh, his earnest expectation was that he could look forward to an eternal home in heaven, to be with Christ, which is far better. We spoke of it slightly this morning. And at that time of Manasseh's death, he would be absent from the body, and he would be present with the one who died to save him from his sin. D.L. Moody, he said, someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, that is all, out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. And that is the hope and assurance that Manasseh had, that when he died, he would not be buried in the ground and be forgotten about, but no, he would just change address to heaven. He would change his address to the very place where the Lord resides. And believer, that's the earnest expectation that we all have, that one day the Lord will return. He will bring his people to be with him in eternal glory. But if you're outside of Christ this evening, if you've never trusted in him for salvation, that's not your earnest expectation. Sadly, if you're outside of Christ and you die without him, the one place that you will be is hell. That is where, and we don't need to sugarcoat it, this is what the scriptures teach. There is only two places after we die. You either be in heaven with Christ, or you'll be in hell in eternal damnation. And we do not want to see your soul on that broad road that leads to destruction. Therefore, I implore you, repent of your sin this evening. Do as Manasseh did. Follow his example, where he humbled himself and he besought the Lord his God. And turn to Christ. Turn to Christ who died upon the cross to save us from our sin, to purchase such a great redemption for us. We will be only more than happy to point you to Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. The one who redeemed even the most reprobate man that we can read of in Scripture. He redeemed Manasseh, one of the most worst sinners that we have read of in Scripture. He can redeem you this evening also. I trust and pray you will repent of your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank thee for this account in the life of Manasseh. Lord, we thank thee that he was a sinner saved by thy grace. Lord, we thank thee that you still have grace to save sinners this day. Lord, you're the unchanging God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, you're still imploring men to turn from their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Lord, we do pray that you would speak on to men and women's hearts. Lord, for those who are outside of Christ, Lord, show them the sin in their life. Lord, show them the fact that they have broken thy law. And Lord, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them. They need the Lord Jesus Christ to bear away their sin and to give them his robes of righteousness. Lord, we do pray you would accomplish this. We do pray that you would draw men and women from their sin into the glorious kingdom of thy light. And Lord, we do pray that you would accomplish it for your honour and for your glory, not so that we can say how many people were saved in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church, but Lord, so that we may say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Lord, we pray, speak on to men and women's hearts this evening. Take us to our homes in safety, and Lord, be with us throughout the rest of this week. Lord, may we honour thee, and may we serve thee with all of our being. May it be written over our lives that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Lord, be with each Child of God, we do pray, and bless us and keep us. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen.